This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Caitlin Armstrong is wanted for murder, and the U.S. Marshals have tracked her to Costa Rica. Join us for episode 2 of this 3-part story as deputy marshals land in Costa Rica and begin the hunt in person. They don't know where she is, what she looks like, or even what name she's using, and they only have 1 week to find her. May 11th, 2022, Austin, Texas. Caitlin Armstrong murders Mariah Wilson. In a jealous rage, Caitlin shoots Mariah execution style for having a relationship with her live-in boyfriend, Colin Strickland. It doesn't take long for the Austin PD to determine Caitlin Armstrong is the primary suspect. Not surprisingly, Caitlin is nowhere to be found. A warrant is issued for her arrest, and the U.S. Marshals Lone Star Fugitive Task Force is called in to take up the hunt. In episode 1, we follow Caitlin's trail, and eventually the task force tracks Caitlin Armstrong to Costa Rica. In episode 2, Deputy Marshals Amir Perez and Damian Fernandez land in Central America and intensify the hunt for their missing fugitive. I'm Chris Gotzik, and this is Chasing Evil. Now, investigations don't always work at the same speed in other countries as they do in the U.S., and since the U.S. Marshals are guests in Costa Rica and have absolutely no jurisdiction, the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force must adapt.
I think a good example that we could talk about, too, for that trying not to push people to do your thing or being frustrated and having to rely,
right,
would be the time when we wanted the information, and I think you guys will start to remember where I'm going with this, when we find out that she does land and we start to learn that she's at the airport, they get pictures and she puts down what hotel she's going to be staying on her immigration documents.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, all right, let's call. We got to get someone over there right away. And at the same time, we get the video. This is frustrating for me, was trying to learn this balance, because if it was here, we would have just been 10 minutes and we would have had it done, right?
Right.
Was when we got video of her from the airport outside talking to the bus driver next to that bus. And she's clearly, see Caitlin having a conversation. She's with this bus driver. It's like a Greyhound, so the things are up. You can tell people are putting stuff on it. She's standing next to the bus, and in some of the video footage, you're like, well, she's waiting for this bus. Because at the same time, like, yeah, she's in Costa Rica, but you know, we're trying to figure out where. So when Amir and those guys get there, where do we send them, right?
Check.
So we're kind of like, man, can we just, like, we need to figure out what bus that is, what time, where was that bus going, who do we talk to? And I remember sitting here in the office, and we're all, like, Riley, Amir, and I are like, we need to figure this out. Like, we need someone to go talk to that bus driver. Where did that bus go? What route? Where did he drop her off? What was she asking you?
Right.
I don't know if we even ever got that information. Like, did we actually, I know we I don't.
We didn't even figure out she got on the, we couldn't figure out whether she got on the bus.
Yeah. We just have her standing by the bus.
Right.
And then this thing. So we're thinking, okay, well, she's getting on the bus. Where is it going? All that things. And we want to know it now.
Sure.
Right. And so trying to get someone, like, well, what do you mean they can't just walk outside and, like, the next night at the same time, look for that same bus, the bus driver, and they, hey man, where did you go? Where does this bus go?
Right.
Like we do here, we go to the airport and go, all right, that's the guy in the video. Hey man, last night you picked up, where did you drop, you know, something like that. And that's where you have to learn that it has to go through different channels. And again, you don't want to be pushy, because this is just the beginning, and you know you're going to have to ask someone else to do more of that stuff.
Right. And they don't have to do any of that.
They don't have to do any of it.
Exactly. They don't have to do any of it. And the bus driver honestly doesn't have to answer the questions either.
Right.
The bus driver can tell you to go fly a kite.
We did eventually get some people to go to the residence or the hotel that she put on her immigration form.
Right.
But she never showed up there.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it was that kind of, like, something that, you know, 15 minutes, we've got the answer. 24 hours, whatever. And it just
that's
waiting.
Frustrating.
Yeah. And but it goes back to that whole having people to get back to Damien's point about can't beat boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're seeing what we're seeing on this end from the stuff that we're getting back, then he can take care of that, or Amir could take care of that in 10 minutes and we'd have the answer.
Right, right.
And I think given the context of the media, because I think a lot of this was brought about by the media, by keeping in the news, you know, which led us to be in a major case, right, to get to where we were at. I knew it was weird when Amir called me for assistance to do a press release to the media just to, you know, try to get some type of tips on Caitlin's whereabouts. Because usually with all the homicides that we get in Austin, these task force officers sitting in this room and even outside here in the squad room, they're very particular to say, Brandon, do not put anything out on this, because they don't want that individual that's wanted to be alerted that the task force is working the case, or that now the murder warrant's been issued for them, right?
Right.
So in this particular one, it was like, okay, then we must have exhausted everything here for in order for us to put it out that this individual's wanted. Because as soon as it hits the media, they're gone. The only time that we really alert the local media of our homicide warrant is after they're captured, right? Mm-hmm. Just to not give them any type of indication that, you know, where we're at on this case. So I knew that played a particular role. And he told me, he said, this is going to be a big case as soon as you push it out.
Right,
granted, while they're telling you this whole story and they're planning about who's going to go to Costa Rica and what's all being done, when they're telling this story, this is the first time for me to hear it as well as on this podcast, because we put it out on a Friday, and then Sunday I get COVID. I test positive for COVID. That's where we had to stay at home for 14 days in quarantine. And we started on Saturday getting a lot of media calls. And I tell my supervisor, I tell Chris Rhodes, I'm like, hey, we're getting a lot of feedback. I was like, and I don't even know anything about this case. Like, I'm getting mad. I'm getting frustrated at the house because I know hardly any information on this case because I was in operations the week prior. And on Sunday, I make plans. I told Rhodes, I said, hey, I'm going to call San Antonio. I have a public affairs officer over there. Take it over. I said, because, you know, I'm probably going to be sick and be down. So I wanted that contingency plan. Well, I think on Monday, we fielded so many calls. I woke up, I was feeling okay, you know, got some meds or what have you. And I finally took it back. I said, no, I'll cover it. And I think that played an advantage because I'd say about every, at the end of every day, if not every other day, I'd make a phone call to Amir or Mark or Riley and say, hey, what happened? I need to know. Because I'm fielding, I think I fielded over 200 emails from media affiliates just asking questions back and forth. To doing live shows, you know, on TV at, you know, the late night hour or what have you. But, I think it played advantage to have COVID because it let me focus on my collateral duty of being that public affairs officer to keep it in the news.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, hey, I need to know what's going on in this case. And I only got the tidbits, but I think that played an advantage because it didn't let me speak out of line to give Caitlin any type of indication of what I really knew behind the scenes.
Right,
because
right.
obviously me as a public affairs officer, I didn't know.
Right.
And that's what I told the media.
Through the investigation, we learned that she was checking. Like, she was Googling, like, Austin homicide, and she was checking in on the media. So it was good that we were very deliberate about what we put out.
Right. Boots on the ground. Amir and Damien land in Costa Rica. What happens?
I told some of my co-workers back in my office, 7 days. 7 days. If we don't find her, we're done.
Really?
I gave myself five.
Five.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's a whole country you're talking about.
Yeah, but we had a whole group of people behind us.
Right. All right. Okay.
A whole group of people helping you out, trying to make this happen.
Check.
So again, going back to, you know, planning, my whole thing was I want to know from the investigators there what they have done and how they've done it.
And you've made requests of them to interview certain people, find out the bus routes.
Mark talked about earlier. Right.
So you're expecting to land and get a big data dump. And then you're going to really be able to kind of hone your plan a little bit.
Right. So obviously we already knew as soon as we land, we're going to meet with State Department.
Okay.
We have to. We cannot do anything without their blessing.
Right.
So we land. Next day, we meet with State Department. State Department tells us there are do's and don'ts. And they introduce us to the team that's going to be helping us because we have to have people from the State Department helping us out.
Right. What would be a do or a don't that might be surprising?
Well, the most important one, and I think they didn't realize that they have two experienced people working international stuff. Like, you're not here to investigate. You're not asking questions. You're not the one doing the
you're a witness.
Approaching people
right.
and asking them, hey, what did you see or what did you do?
Right.
You're not that. You're there as a witness. You're there to see if the investigation is going the way you like it.
Because the Costa Ricans are running the investigation in their country.
You have no authority in that country as a U.S. federal officer running this type of investigation. We have nothing.
Okay.
So that's probably the most important don't.
Got it.
You also to get a feel of what the State Department officials there are going to do for you, what they can do for you, what they can't do for you, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We talked to the main person at the State Department, which they call them RSOs, Regional Security Officers.
Mm-hmm.
And he welcomed us with open arms, man. That guy went above and beyond for us. The same with the Costa Rican authorities. They were amazing. From the moment we got there, mm-hmm. they were just amazing.
Very welcoming. I think that to me was a relief because you hear about all of this negative press from some of the other countries. You know, people aren't as willing to help. I really thought, honestly, that we were going to show up there and we weren't going to get the cooperation that we got
right.
From the Costa Rican government or from the officials in Costa Rica.
Right. And it's no joke. We may be the U.S., but it's their country. So it's not like we can actually do whatever we want despite what's been portrayed or what the assumption's going to be. You're really at their disposal, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Right.
Calling all lovers of mystery. Prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s and play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. The thrill is endless, with new chapters added weekly, allowing you to not only enjoy the detective adventure, but also to personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
So we finished our meeting with the RSO. The RSO basically introduces to the two individuals that are going to be helping us out. They also have a time limit as well. They're not there for the duration that we're going to be there. We were scheduled to be there, 10 days?
10 days. Nine days.
We bought tickets in and out 10 days, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
And they were going to be with us for 7.
Okay.
And after that, no more. No more help.
Okay.
So we had to make that happen in 7 days.
Right.
Important to mention, we landed on Monday. We met with the Homeland Security investigators there at the airport who took us in. Also super amazing people that are not assigned there but are worked there on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And they had COVID. One of them had COVID, which is important because later we all got COVID.
Got
it. Yeah. Important to mention, we all got COVID during that time. And we didn't stop working. Anyway, so Tuesday, we meet with the RSO. That's in the morning. Right after that, we get introduced to these two people that we were going to be working with. We talked to them, and that's where I asked the questions. Was this done? Yes, it was done. No, it wasn't done. For the most part, everything that I asked, whether it was done or not, it was a yes.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, okay, how was it done? What was the outcome of that? For example, the bus information, right? Did you guys talk to the driver? Identify the route it took, and that was that information also led us to Jaco, because that bus went to Jaco.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the stops. It was impressive to see that these people from another country were actually running the fugitive investigation pretty close to how we would run it here. They were asking the right questions. They were checking with the right people. They were running this case for us, basically, on that side.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that we were really getting frustrated about over here, like Mark was saying. It's like, are they really doing it the way we would be doing it, or are they working this case? And after meeting with them that day, we found out that they were.
Right.
They were working this case pretty hard. I mean, one of the things that knocked them down, too, was COVID. I mean, they started with an initial group that had run with the case for a little while. And those people ended up getting COVID, and so they ended up coming up with another group of people. And the team that we wound up with that day, or after meeting with them, included two HSI agents that were with us from the beginning of it all the way through the end. Very helpful.
So now we found out that what they have done is to our standard, right? So now right. What was the next, what me and Amir had talked about?
At some point during the investigation, we developed information that she had met a U.S. citizen in Hako.
Hako.
So we were trying to track him down, and we learned that he had returned to the United States. And so, all right, we want to send someone to interview him to figure out what he knows. And we're sending collaterals to the regional offices where we thought he lived, and nothing was panning out. So finally, we're at our end. We're like, you know what? Let's just cold call him.
Mm-hmm. When you run a fugitive investigation, you don't want to cold call anybody.
No.
People will tell you whatever they want to tell you over the phone. That is the last thing that you want to do. You don't want to call somebody on the phone and ask for information.
Right. No. But we're looking at him, and we're just going to roll the dice because we think that we might be able to eliminate it or get somewhere pretty quickly.
Well, and we had sent a lead to Miami right. to check an address, and it didn't pan out. And so, like, we had no other choice.
Right.
Like, we wanted to talk to him this badly. And so we all sat down in this interview room, and so we call him up, and sure enough, he answers. And so we identify ourselves, say, hey, we're with the United States Marshal Service. And he's like, I'm not interested. Click.
Hangs up.
And so... You know, I'm sure he was thinking this is one of those scams where sure. he's yeah. being sure. called and, you know, trying to get money out of him. Yeah. So we call him back and...
Same thing.
It went kind of like, no!
That was like the
all
third...
All of us yelled.
Right. We called him twice and then he hung up again. We kept getting a little bit further. We're like, don't hang up. And then he doesn't hang up and we give him a little bit of information. We're like, hey, were you recently in Costa Rica? And he's like, yeah. Well... You know, we explain we're doing this fugitive investigation. We believe that you may have run into someone that we're looking for. I got to go to a meeting. And then we're like, we tell him, hey, Caitlin Armstrong, have you seen it? And he says, yes, it's in the news, but no, I never met that girl. I don't know right. what you're talking about. So
we're trying to like feed him some, just enough information to jog his recollection and judge whether he's also going to be honest with us. So I basically had to tell him, hey, I need you to look at this specific thing. And I start telling him about it, and he starts looking at it, and he's like, you can tell it starts clicking.
Right.
But he knows her as a different name.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And a different look. Because we ended up emailing him a picture of who we're looking. He's like, I've never seen this girl. And we're like, yeah, you have. Can you do X? And he does X, and he goes, oh, that's... I can't remember the name he used. What was she going by?
Beth Martin.
He goes, that's Beth. That's not Caitlin. And her hair's not that color, and it's not that length. And we're like, all right, sweet.
So we've at the end of that conversation, we felt pretty good. And this is obviously before they go to Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do we know she's in Costa Rica, we know a place where she's gone in Costa Rica.
Where she stayed. Where she ate, where she...
Right, what she's... You know, some of the things she's doing... And then finally, once they get to Costa Rica and they learn that bus went to
Hako,
it was like a big relief. Like, okay, we are on the right track.
Right.
So going back to when one of the AP TFOs went to Walmart and learned that she bought a new cell phone and she also bought a prepaid debit card.
So I was going to say that to lead into you, Riley. Back here before, once we realized that she had gone on a plane and gone to Costa Rica, Amir, Riley kind of all sat in the office and brainstormed, what do we need to figure out or what do we need to look at in order to catch her? And so the things that we started to think about is obviously, hey, what is she going to use for funding? Is Costa Rica her last destination? How is she going to communicate with people? What's she going to pay for all the stuff to do? Because she can't just go on the run and stay wherever. So we started brainstorming about what we needed to file, what could we use in order to get information that could help us figure out where she was at.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the major things we were doing was trying to find the car because that was important. And so when the marshals had talked to her sister, Riley and I had had a phone conversation with her as well on the phone. We talked to her on the phone to figure out what was her interaction with her sister like. What did she think? Try to gauge her knowledge about what's going on, because is this someone that we have to look at and further dig into because she's helping her sister?
Right.
So she quickly told us that, hey, my sister was going back to Texas. She had to take care of some things. I dropped her off at the airport And she called me and said, hey, I changed my mind. I'm going to get my iPhone fixed because, as Riley mentioned before, she needed to get a new phone, and she got one at Walmart. So she wanted to get her old number fixed. So she's going to Verizon, tells her, I'm going to get my phone. I'm just going to drive back to Texas.
Right.
So we're thinking that we're still looking for this Jeep. We hadn't found the Jeep. So we checked every airport parking lot for the Jeep. We drove every one of them manually. We looked at every lot at Austin AIB trying to find this Jeep. We also used tools that we have from plate scans and stuff to figure out where she had parked it in the past to try to identify all the locations to find that Jeep. Not only was it important for us to...
Because when you go into a parking lot, your plate is automatically scanned so they know when you came in.
Right. And so we couldn't find the car. We also wanted to find it on the APD side because it had information about whether it was actually on scene, stuff like that.
Right.
So we were trying to find that car. And during the conversation with Christine, we all talked about where's the money going to come from. So we figured talking to Colin, we were trying to figure out, well, how much money does she have access to?
Because this case generated so much attention, we did receive some tips that allowed us to get a better understanding of her financial situation. And one of those was a brokerage account. And we learned that it was an account that she shared with Colin, mm-hmm. where she had access to somewhere around $130,000 in cash. You would think this is what she's going to draw from,
sure.
to finance, you know, her flight.
Mm-hmm.
But that actually never materialized. She never touched that. You know, we're just wondering, she's got all this cash that she can access. Like, how is she paying for all of this?
Right. Because if she were to withdraw any of the money, it would certainly give an indication of where she was.
Absolutely. You know, the company that we're working with where she had the account, you know, we provided them with legal process, and they're great to work with. Like I said, she never accessed it. You know, one of the things I learned, you know, Costa Rica is a fairly inexpensive place to go to if you're an American. I was surprised that her ticket from Newark to Costa Rica was only $247.
Wow.
Which I thought... I would never have imagined it was that inexpensive to get there.
They probably didn't serve a meal.
Probably not. Yeah. So we eventually discovered that she sold the car to CarMax.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mark said, we were searching everywhere for this car. I mean, driving around all over Austin.
And back to the financials, right? So Colin had made it clear their relationship and their business with the Airstream trailers was he did all the work. And she was really the money manager.
Right. Just for those who don't know, Colin and Caitlin had a business refurbishing vintage Airstream trailers.
Correct. And so selling them for pretty decent money, like pretty high end. And so not only that, but he had sponsors from Red Bull. He had his own company and some stuff with his cycling. But she basically was like managing all of his money to the point where like when Riley and I were talking with him to try to figure out, had she siphoned money somewhere without him knowing, right?
Right, right.
She had passwords. He didn't know his passwords to things. So we were like, well, where's all this money going? Because she's going to need to run it.
I think one of the reasons it took so long to figure out the car that was sold to CarMax is because it wasn't until the Texas DMV updated their records showing that the transfer of the title from her to CarMax.
Oh.
And so... it took basically a manual search for us, like, hey, I'm gonna run the car again to see, you know, what comes up. It wasn't until we checked again that it's like, oh my gosh, CarMax has this car now, and then tracking it down to which CarMax it was.
That's to your credit, because most investigators don't do that. They don't rerun that for registered owner. I mean, once you know it's who the owner is, hardly ever do you go back and run it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we found out there was this CarMax in South Austin. They gave her a check for $13,000, whatever the price of the car was.
Right.
So that's when I was talking about before that her sister telling us she didn't know. She knew. She knew because she knew that her sister sold the car, had this lump sum of cash. Like, she didn't mention any of that. So.
Oh, she didn't. And during the interview process.
Yeah. Now that we know that she's not on the up and up, we're also thinking, all right, at some point, if it goes longer than the 7 days, we're going to keep an eye on her because there's going to be communication at some point, right? You're not going to just, you know, most people.
You don't show your hand. You don't show your hand. I mean, you don't want her to know that you know
right.
that.
That she knows.
That.
Right.
yeah, I didn't want to say all that, but yes, yeah. Pretty much you don't want her to know all the information that you have about
right,
her.
Right.
And
right.
that you know now that she's lying to you.
And, right. and family's obviously going to be, she's not going to go forever without doing something cryptic, right. right?
As I have learned over the course of time doing these podcasts and the analyzation of the patterns of life, it's really, really hard to cut ties with family, especially if you're close, right? I mean, there's a very few people that are able to do that successfully.
And back to that brainstorming, we sit around all the time and you got to, if you want to go on the run, we got to put ourselves in their shoes and think, what would we do? How many conversations do we have, Amir?
Oh yeah.
I would do X, Y, and Z if I were her. This would be my next step. Cause we're trying to think like right. her, right?
Sure.
And one of the saving graces for her sister is that a lot of the stuff that she did to help Caitlin
mm-hmm.
was before the warrant was issued. So at that point, she was not a fugitive.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's helping her cash the check into her account, you know, there is...
She can claim, oh, right. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't right. know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's blood. It's family. I get it. But, you know, she had an opportunity to, at least after she knew her sister, could have said, oh, well, we did do X, Y, and Z. So, I mean, right. hindering, whatever. But.
Right.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
So we are back in Costa Rica. We've landed. You've gotten briefs from the State Department, and they've given you help for 5 days?
Approximately 7 days, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so they've given...
From
okay.
Tuesday all the way to Sunday, they were on all board. Right. So we had what essentially was two teams. The people that are associated with the embassy, and then the people that are actually Costa Rican authorities.
Right.
So we got what is the Immigration Law Enforcement, which is the second largest law enforcement entity
right.
in Costa Rica.
And they need a larger law enforcement entity because Costa Rica has no military.
That is correct. They do not have. I learned that actually when I was down there. Uh-huh. I had no idea. But yes, that is their second largest law enforcement entity, and they do everything. And so they were going to be with us only 5 days. I think they were only allowed right. till like Saturday to be with us or that okay. Friday evening. I
Friday
think.
Evening.
Whereas the team that was with the embassy was going to be with us until Sunday.
Okay. So TikTok either way.
Yes. And so we meet with the chief of immigration in Costa Rica. And we tell him the plan, right? We go over what our expectations are. Obviously, their expectations as well. And we come up with the plan. And also, how are we going to present this? Because we didn't want to go around the country of Costa Rica saying, hey, we're looking for a fugitive.
Right.
You know. So Amir came up with the plan of saying, hey, let's present it as a missing person. We're looking for this missing person whose family is affluent. They have money in the States and they're offering a reward. If you can tell us if you've seen her or not, or show us to her location.
Right. You have the information that she is probably in Jaco.
So we had information that she was in Jaco, obviously off of the person that was interviewed earlier
right.
by APD. That information was there. But we also had other information that she was probably in Santa Teresa.
Okay.
By that same person who had advised her, hey, if you want to lay low, there's a good spot. It's called Santa Teresa. You might want to go there.
Right.
That was one of the indications that she was there.
Okay.
We also received other information from other sources that placed her there.
So right. one of the things that we haven't even mentioned from the beginning is that she is a yoga instructor.
Right.
I guess in the world, it's one of the meccas of yoga.
Right.
That's where you go to become a certified instructor. And there are tons of yoga studios everywhere. Whether you're talking about San Jose, which is the capital where we landed, or
Jaco. Or Santa Teresa. Or Malpais.
And that's how the guy from Florida met her, was at the yoga studio.
The yoga studio in Jaco. Jaco. Okay. So you're heading to Jaco.
Jaco, yes.
Jaco. Okay. Let me slide.
Sorry, brother.
All right.
So that's our first stop. Our route is we're going to stop there and we're going to look into, obviously, the restaurant where they had lunch, him and the person that we had interviewed earlier, and also confirm that there was no tie at that yoga studio, that she didn't know anybody at that studio. Because, again, she was like super into yoga. She was a certified yoga instructor. And so we wanted to know if she had touched bases with them and kind of asked, hey, are you guys hiring, this or that, whatever. Anything other than just a session of yoga that she had done there. So that was one. Obviously confirmed that she had done the yoga there. Go to the lunch restaurant where they had lunch. And also look at cameras to see if there was any cameras around there to kind of confirm the look. This should look different. Has she done any changes in her look? Like cut her hair? Right. From the moment I took on this case, I was 100% sure she would not cut her hair. Like, she had long, blonde, beautiful hair, and I was like, yeah, she's not gonna cut those. Right. Like, that's part of her personality.
Right.
That's what I think.
Yeah, so we're looking at the footage, and actually, I'll tell you, I was really impressed with the surveillance, I guess, or the cameras that they have set up all through that beach, right at Jaco Beach. They have it. You could see everything that goes on throughout the little town.
It's not big. It's not a big place. We also went to Selena there. I remember the hostel. So Selena is another thing that I learned with this trip is that Selena is a hostel that is all over the world and is a very, very popular hostel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stopped there because we had info that she might be staying at the Selena hostels, like the chain. So we went there. I was on that part of that team. You were part of the team that went to the cameras, right?
I mean, correct.
I was part of the team that was more running around the beach looking for places. And we went to that Selena hostel, talked to the manager there. And again, we went with that story about, hey, we're looking for this female. Mm-hmm. Showed them the picture. Mm-hmm. We didn't say no names.
Mm-hmm.
We just told them why we were looking for her. Show the picture. And can you show that picture to your staff? Well, they run everything to an iPad, and they can show the photo to everyone in their staff through the iPad on their phones. So they showed, they spread that photo around, and it's like, no, nobody came back with, oh yeah, we've seen her. Mm-hmm. So we ruled that out.
I'm sitting there watching camera footage. I'm sitting there as exciting as that went on
for like 6 hours in a tiny little room with a bunch of cameras. And I couldn't stay in there because
Of my life.
And they finally found someone that kind of looked like her, right? Do you think? I thought it was her when we walked out of there. I was like, okay, I think that's her, because just there wasn't as many female Americans there or foreign females that I was like, all right, I think it's her.
Yeah, we were pretty certain it was going to be her.
Women.
I apologize. Women, not females.
The marshal's going to hear this.
We were pretty sure it was going to be her, but we didn't know for sure.
Right.
100%. You don't want to be that person. Call 100% on it.
We tried. The studio was closed. We called it. There was no answer that day. So we kind of gave up on the studio aspect of the investigation for that day. We tried to watch the video and see where she had come out of or where she went to. And come up with hostels or hotels, because that place does have hotels, to see if she had stayed in one of those or she had walked into one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think we tracked one down and we went and talked to them, but they were not helpful at all. Like, they shut us down quick.
Right.
Quick.
We can go on and discuss this. And what it's clear is there's a lot of dead ends. There's hours and hours and hours of work that does not pay off.
Got it.
I guess the only thing you find out is where she's not.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and what followed that was a very, very long drive from Jaco to
Santa Teresa.
Santa Teresa.
So you thought that, so that was the next town that you were going because you had
information that she might be there. We had information that if she wasn't in Jaco, she might be at this other place. Also, highly known for its yoga studios.
Okay.
And hostels, which is pretty interesting to me. I had never dealt with hostels. I didn't know so many people actually traveled in hostels in Costa Rica. And there, you look up hostels in Costa Rica, and there's like
one in every corner.
There's over 200.
Yes.
As probably more than any other country that I've ever seen. Mm. They have tons and tons of hostels.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And back here, too, on the stateside, Riley and I, we're seeing how many Airbnbs there are, too, because we're not ruling out any of that stuff, too, because we're also getting some information through things that she's maybe booking Airbnbs, whether she's showing up or not. So it's another added wrinkle in trying to figure out where her next stay is.
Oh, yeah. This very interesting thing is that while we're traveling to Jaco and Santa Teresa, we get information that she's booking rooms in San Jose, which is the capital, where we just came from.
Okay.
So now we have to go back and tell our people that are helping us, hey, can you send somebody back in San Jose to look at those hostels? Because there are hostels. And so they had to do that too while we're in Santa Teresa trying to find her.
Right.
So I took the shorter route to Santa Teresa. I took the ferry.
There's two routes.
There is two routes.
There was a ferry and a six-hour drive route.
Seven-hour drive, which takes you up north and west to the peninsula. Right. And then you can take the ferry from, you travel about an hour north from Jaco to Punta Arenas and then take a ferry to the other side. And then you still have to drive because that lands you on the east side of that peninsula. So you still have to drive to the west side of it.
Right. So Santa Teresa is isolated.
Yes. So, and then we realize as soon as we get there that, man, there is so many tourists in that place from everywhere. I mean, German women, Hungarian women, Argentinian women.
But not just that they're women. They are women that look exactly like our girl.
Like one out of five women looked like our target.
Right.
Like you're taking pictures of all these women that look like your target and like, hey, what do you think about? And we're putting this back on the group that is helping us,
right?
Talking about the group that's helped us. What do you guys think about that one? Oh, that one looks like a match. Let's go. And so we're doing this as soon as we land there. That night that we land in Santa Teresa, we saw like four or five people.
It was 10 o'clock at night. It was 10 o'clock at night, and we're following people up and down the street. Women up and down the street looking at every curly-haired woman that kind of matches the description.
I mean, when you told me that, I thought it was pretty funny until you actually started showing me some of the pictures, and you just started asking me, is that her? Here's what she looks like. Okay, is this her? This is the back of somebody. This is the back of another person. Is this her? Is this her? I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I kind of see her face. I need to see her face. And you're like, okay, well, now I've got to like walk up to some strange woman and get in front of her and look at her face or take a picture of it. That's not going to be too suspicious.
And then you're talking about a small town. It's not very well lit.
Right.
There is not like here, like every street. Yeah, there is some street lights, but like every other 100 yards, you'll have a streetlight. So you have to get up close and personal.
Right. And then watch this person. I was like, all of a sudden, it wasn't funny anymore because I'm like, this goes on. There were so many women there that this goes on and on and on. And you keep asking me, is this her? Is this her? And I'm like, maybe? I can't tell.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that helped is we ruled a lot of these women out because most of them had tattoos.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And we
that's
knew
what we were looking at over here.
And we knew Caitlin didn't have any tattoos.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that she could have
gotten one,
right?
But when you're listening to this, just think about how hard it is to see somebody from the back, and if it fits a certain type, and there were a lot of
one out of five,
and now you got to go try to check out her face, and it's not just a glance, it's maybe she doesn't look the same. So you got to kind of like analyze her face. Could this have been her face with some changes? And now you're into some probably breaching some law of stalking. And it sounds funny, but it's impossible. It's such a hard task that you had.
I don't know if it's the specific beach or what. It's a magnet for women that look like her with curly hair. This is the place for them.
Right. And they're attractive women. And so it kind of makes it seem even, you know, worse if you were just told anybody that you were out looking at women and stalking them. It just, it's a really hard thing to do without also being noticed and reported to the police.
Correct. You start thinking to yourself, it's like, what does this look like?
None of these women would even look your way either.
Right.
They would just... like that. Right. Straight up. Like
they were going about their business.
Zero friendly.
Yeah.
We actually met the next morning and we sat down and I remember looking at Damien and I said, this is going to be harder than we initially thought. We have our work cut out for us because we had only been there that night and we've already run into at least four. We're done. It's like, what are we going to encounter during the day
tomorrow?
But
you've looked at how many women?
We probably run into like 30 women that night and out of those 35 were matches for. So I remember the guy from the embassy that was with us, he actually followed one all the way to the freaking hostel where she was staying. And so next morning he was going to go back to see if he saw her and then start asking questions. We soon realized that was a mistake because he went back and asked and they're like, well, there's a, like 25 women that look just like her.
Right.
Which one are you asking about?
Right.
So then we start looking around and I find out that there's a surf competition going on. And I'm like, great, perfect. You know, if you're coming to this place, you're coming because of the surfing or you're coming because of the yoga. You want to go out there early in the morning. So, okay, so there's a surf competition going on. And I find myself there in the crowd while the crowd is looking at the ocean and looking at the surfers. I am looking at the crowd. I have my back to the ocean.
Right.
And it looks very, very awkward.
Right. I mean, if I were to see a guy do that at a beach, I would yell stranger danger.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. What is
you stand
this
out
guy?
Right off the bat, you stand out. I mean, as it was, we kind of stood out because we didn't look like most of the people that visit that. Most of them are foreigners. Most of them don't look like me or Amir. Yeah. Right. I mean, if we were working behind the bar, maybe we looked like the people that worked there. But other than that, we didn't. We stood out.
Okay.
Which was funny, but not funny at the same time. Cause
check.
You got 150 people looking at the surf competition and yelling for the guy. And you got one guy looking at the crowd. It's like with my back to the surfers.
Right.
Oh my God.
Right.
What does this look like?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's not good.
No, it looks bad.
Right.
And the only way you could do it is you can't get away from the crowd. You got to sit kind of in the middle and kind of look around. So I'm sure people were like, what is this guy looking for?
Did you have 5'11 pants on?
I did not have 5'11 pants on. I had a Hawaiian shirt on and was looking around. I tried to blend.
We did. It didn't work that well. But anyways, we also had to plan up. We had a Homeland Security investigator with us, a female, a woman.
A woman.
Thank you, Marshall.
That was going to help us out going to yoga studios and taking yoga classes. Mm-hmm. That was her whole thing. And she was very into fitness. So she was running in the mornings. She was waking up every morning to do a run around along that beach and along the main strip. There's only one street. Santa Teresa is only one street down.
Right.
And it's got like a few roads to the side, to the mountain, to the hill, and to the beach. But other than that, it's just one road, one main road. That's it. And she would run that road and the beach, and then she would go take a class, a yoga class. One of the places that we sent her to take the yoga class was Don John's. So there was like specific places that we wanted her to go take yoga classes because we had heard, okay, these are like the spots that you want to take yoga.
Right, right.
Now, there was one of them that was shut down because I guess the family that runs it, it was one of the most popular ones too, but family had it shut down for some reason. I guess out vacationing or something like that. But anyways, she went and did that while we were kind of just cruising the road up and down, trying to find matches and sitting down in places, identifying what would be a place where you would stay. Like I asked around, hey, one of the things that I wanted to know, where does your money take you further in this town? You know what I mean? Like, what can I, is it a hostel the best option, or can I rent the house? Because we found out there was like houses behind the hostels, tiny houses that they will rent out.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they announced? How are they promoted? So that's when we learned about what's on Santa Teresa, which is a Facebook group where everything that happens in Santa Teresa, everything is put on that group. And there's actually three of them, but there's one main one.
Right.
Everything that happens. If you want to sell your motorcycle, it's on there. If you want to rent the house or you want to advise
the public of crime.
Everything that happens through there. It's like their newspaper, basically. Right.
If there's a guy at the surf competition looking at the crowd and not looking at the surfers.
Missing dogs, anything that whatever you can think about, it's on that group. They announce it on there. So everyone starts following that group. Everyone that was in that team, either Amir's team or my team, we join that group and we start following everything that's happening
right.
in that group. We see who's announcing yoga classes at what mm-hmm. time, what are the prices,
mm-hmm.
and is there any apartments that are being rented out that are pretty affordable that mm-hmm. will take you, like if you have not a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
is it going to take you further out, like mm-hmm. a monthly basis kind of stuff? So we start making contacts through that Facebook group to start asking people stuff. Like I made a, you could say it's like a realtor kind of guy. I started talking to him and he was telling me, oh, yeah. He was giving me places to go look at and stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And here's where the people that were with us from our team, from Costa Rica, shined. I mean, they were up and up on the social media. They were really, really on it. They were giving us ideas. They were all about, you know, maybe we should try this and maybe we should try that on it the entire time that we were there. It was really good. We ended up looking at that, and that became kind of our
guiding star.
Yeah, really. That's what we looked to find out what was going to go on
right.
There while we were there, where we could find rooms for rent, where we could find yoga instructors, yoga classes,
mm-hmm.
Hostels, and possibly get more ideas as to if you're not going to be staying in Santa Teresa, where else could you go from there?
Right.
Yeah, we started looking at also that there was plenty of places that were announcing that they were looking for yoga instructors as well.
Right.
That was one of the things that we focused a lot on. Also, are they looking for yoga instructors? We would visit those places as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of gave us an idea later on how we were going to find her. But in the meantime, we're still kind of following the plan, which is let's try and locate her. Right?
And following
right.
people.
Yeah.
Following
and how many days have you been in
this
Santa
is like
Teresa?
Day three, probably.
Okay.
I mean, we're still pretty much fresh.
Right.
We still have a lot of energy going.
But you've only got 2 5 days.
Two more days
yes. where you're having the assistance.
Right. And so the team that I was with, they kind of started doing their own thing, and they started stopping people at the beach that kind of looked like her. Like they would just come up because they're immigration, right?
They were
right.
officials. They
yeah,
could do
so
it.
they just go up and hit them up and be like, hey, show me your ID.
Right.
And they started looking at them to see if they've come into the country legally.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we didn't know if she obtained another identity, right? With money, you could probably buy one. So they started hitting up all these females, women that looked like our target. And they ruled out, I think the number that they gave me was like 40. They
right.
stopped over 40. They even followed one into a very
posh.
Yes, like super posh place. And so they were like, okay, we're going to get her when she comes out. Sure enough, she comes out and she got defensive right away. It wasn't our target, obviously, but she was defensive. She's like, well, why are you guys doing this? Yeah. She started acting like, oh, you guys have no
authority
to do this.
Well, mm-hmm. going on the premise of a missing person, though.
Right.
At the end, it wasn't her. It wasn't.
Right.
It looked a lot like her. Like then when they sent photos over the group chat that we had going on, we were like, man, that looks a lot like her, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going back to just most of the women that were there, a lot of them looked like our target. That leads us, takes us to Friday. Friday, we're still coming empty-handed. Friday, I go back to Jaco.
Okay.
With the side of my team. We go back to Jaco and we start right. looking for a person of interest that was pointed out by the person that was interviewed earlier, the U.S. citizen that was interviewed mm-hmm. earlier. He pointed out somebody, so we went to go try and locate him. to see if he had any interaction, because there was a chance that she would have reached out to him for help. So we went and tried to locate him. We went and tried to locate, again, the yoga studio people. We wanted to corroborate the U.S. citizen story. Because at the end of the day, it's just one person giving you the story, but we want to make sure that what he's telling us is correct.
Sure.
Right? So we ended up going back to the yoga studio, met with the yoga owner and the yoga instructor that gave that class. At first, she was super defensive. She didn't want to cooperate at all. She was super, I don't want anything to do with this. Eventually, once I brought up the name of the person that was interviewed, she kind of left her guard a little bit. She left it down. And so I started asking more questions, and she gave in. And she confirmed that she had seen the target, the person that we're looking after, but that she had briefly talked to her, that she didn't get into it with, and she didn't know her. And that was the main thing that we wanted to kind of rule out, that there was no yoga association between them two, or yoga association between her and the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we ruled all that out.
Right.
We made the guy that we talked to said he was going to help us out, that he knew everybody. He did trip excursions, right? That's what he did.
Right.
So we ended up having him jump on board and say, like, hey, I'll help you if I know anything about this. And he was a U.S. citizen as well. He started doing his research. As soon as I didn't tell this guy the name of the person that we were looking at.
Right.
He started doing his own research, found out who I was looking after, sent me the photo. Hey, is this who you're looking after? Why didn't you tell me you were after Caitlin Armstrong?
Right.
And I'm like, well, I can't tell you because then I don't know what's going to come out from your end.
Right.
And what are you going to do with that information?
Right. So
now you found out. Now you know. Cool. Are you going to help me? I'll still help you. And then they start relating to you. Like, I have family that is law enforcement. So, right. Yeah, I'm all for it. And blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So this is Damien's team in Hakko. Meanwhile, I'm in Santa Teresa still. And I am logging a minimum of 10 miles a day walking. Walking the beach, walking the street.
I know you're not kidding because you showed me the app.
I did. I mean, I was walking, and my whole team was. I mean, right. Everybody was walking up and down, up and down, up and down. It just so happened that we ended up losing half of Damien's team at that point.
Right.
And we had to go and pick him up. And tell you a funny story, we went to go pick up Damien from the ferry. As we're driving back, it is raining. I mean, it's raining cats and dogs. Bad. So I'm driving. I'm the one that's driving. I'm following Google Maps because it's telling me Google Maps is, I mean, that's the app, right? I'm following Google Maps and it's going. And I get to a spot where the road looked like it's moving. And Damien was sitting in the front seat and he's like, no, just keep going. Map says it's going. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know how safe this is. I mean, are you sure? So I turn on my high beams. The road is no longer there. We almost drove into a river.
Oh,
I mean, like, how close were we?
About 5 yards away from it.
Okay.
Our adventure would have been done.
No, it was not well lit. Like, you can't see a lot of this stuff out there. Like,
it's in the jungle.
You're just following what freaking Google Maps is telling you.
Right. Like, well, I hope you guys took the collision.
So yeah, it was pretty interesting. I mean, that could have honestly been the end of our trip,
right?
And then you were in the rented vehicle by
HSI. Little did we know, she asked me to drive on the way back because she was not feeling well.
So we all caught COVID.
She had COVID,
right?
And then after that, we all had COVID.
Well, I had already had COVID for like 2 days. I get COVID to my whole side of the team because we traveled to Hakko in a tiny little car and we were all crowded in there.
Right.
So I'm coughing along out. By the time that they made it, the liaison for that team hits me up. He's like, I just tested positive for COVID. I just want you to let you know in case that you want to test yourself out, make sure that you don't have it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have it. Oh, well.
Right.
The work continues.
Yeah.
So yeah, we pick up Damien that day, and even the girl that the HSI girl that was sick, I mean, she's a trooper. She kept looking the next day as well. But now we all have COVID. We're all looking, and we're coming up empty with everything that we're looking at. Everything.
And you're not feeling particularly too good.
No.
Right.
We're hurting. I'm hurting bad. You know, I spent part of my day at the back at the hotel just trying to get it together to go out there and walk.
Mm-hmm.
We end up going to a social event that they have there where they were selling a bunch of crafts and stuff. Nothing. I mean, there was tons of people there. I even asked Damien to come out and take a look with me, and we were walking around, and I was just so, so frustrating.
Mm.
By this time, we're thinking we need to have another plan. We need to come up with a way to reach out on social media.
Right.
So we decided at this point that we're going to put out some ads, and we're going to actually solicit yoga instructors that would be interested in teaching for one of the hostels there. And we decided to put out tons of them, flood it. I mean, as many as we could come up with.
Right.
And
were you seeing that What's Up?
Right.
That What's Up? That What's On Santa Teresa group. Mm-hmm. That's what we use.
Right.
We haven't been able to get her any other way. She's probably gonna need a job.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have some money, right? When you're living out on your own. We hadn't had any word about her using any other kind of money anywhere else. So she's got to have had a job somewhere. And so we end up posting an ad, and nothing. I mean, it's dead. At this point, I think we're back up to like Sunday now.
That was Sunday.
Right. So Sunday. How many of them are you now at this point? Since
it's just three of them now. Three of us.
Three of you, okay.
Amir, one of the embassy guys, right. And myself.
All of our Costa Rican law enforcement is peeled off.
It's gone.
Right.
They're gone. And they're gone because of staffing issues and because they're sick.
COVID as well.
Right. They're sick. And, you know, part of my team was gone too because of the same thing. You know, they all kind of left. And the HSI agent that was with us too is now sick. And she's heading back to the hotel too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now it's just us and we're stuck with, damn it, we didn't find her. It's time. You know, we've run out of time basically.
Right.
It's time to go back.
Right. And Chris, are you worried that it's only 3 days left that you might have to, I mean, are you going to bring them home or are you going to leave them down there? What do you think as the supervisor?
I'm working on getting them extended down there because they're telling me that they want to stay, that, you know, they're working.
It's beautiful out there. The beaches are beautiful.
Right.
You know, every day I'm getting updates from them.
They're was Chris's first question.
Yeah. I think he saw the amount of work that we put in.
Right.
When a supervisor sees that, it's like, all right, they didn't go out there just to mess around.
Right.
They're actually putting in work, and there's still something that we can follow on. And we still had some other stuff that was being worked on this site that could give us, you know, open up something.
Okay.
And we're waiting on that too. I was praying. Like, at this point, I'm already praying. Like, all right, some of the stuff that the guys are doing back home needs to pan out. Every day, I was waiting for that. Good news, because it happens. It's just like that's the way it goes.
Right.
Sometimes you just wait a little bit, and that piece of information that's missing is delivered. And I was waiting for that every day.
Check.
You know what we found out while we were there, and I don't remember what day this was. I don't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, is that they're actually having a retreat where they're teaching yoga instructors from all over the world.
It's Saturday.
And it's from the same company where she got her certification from.
Uh-huh.
But she got hers in, Bali. Was it? Oh, yeah, in Bali, right? Several years earlier. So logically, we think we're going to go look.
Sure.
Right? We're going to go and find out where this place is. We get to where this place is, and it's locked down. We can't get in. They're not even letting us. I mean, we get up to I think it's a hostel or a hotel. I'm not sure.
It was in Malpais, right?
Yeah, it was in Malpais. And they are not letting us anywhere near the group of women that are in there. And it's, you know, I got the guy to tell us, yeah, it's a group of women. But, you know, we couldn't even get our HSI agent in there. We were done. Hmm. Right. We find out later that they're on the beach and we go out to the beach and it's this group of, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 women, and they're in a circle. I don't know what they're doing. They're dancing. I'm not sure.
Kind of looked like a ritual of some type.
It was okay. Weird, man. Weird.
And
weird.
They're sending photos back to us so we can see what's going on. We're trying to figure out what's going on as well.
Right. So you saw the ritual. That didn't pan out, as interesting as it may have been.
You know what? It kind of looked like some sort of a witch.
Like a wicked
gathering.
pagan ritual.
I mean, honestly, I mean, they're all dressed in they're all dressed in white. I don't know. It was weird to me.
Yeah, you actually, I think y'all are able to identify.
Yes, we identified the group that they belonged to.
Right, and we identified one of the people participating in it, and she, on her Instagram, she listed that she was a yoga witch practitioner.
By Monday, the other guy from the embassy says, "Hey, I gotta get out of here too. Okay. My time is up.
Right,
so we have to drive back tomorrow."
Sorry, sucker.
By this time, we had already placed all these ads on this group, right? And we're still waiting for that to come back, as well as whatever our counterparts on this side are working on. And we're still kind of like, let's hope something pans out. On Monday, we start driving back.
We actually got noticed when we got to San Jose, but actually on the way back, it's good to mention that it was a 6.5 hour drive back. And we stopped along the way as well at different places, possible hostels and other locations that we thought, you know, tourists would stop and possible yoga and stuff. When we returned to San Jose, we checked social media and found that there was a bite. There was a person of interest that was interested in becoming a yoga teacher for that hostel and had never or was new to the area. So we're thinking, it's a good possibility.
Wow.
So we start backtracking on that specific Facebook profile that reached out.
Still could be a needle in the haystack, though.
You can
tell
that's a newly created Facebook profile.
Oh,
like
okay.
It was recently opened up.
Uh-huh.
And some of the people that are helping us out also tell us the same thing. Like, yeah, you know what? That is a fairly newly open account.
Okay.
So let's focus on that one. We set up an appointment with this person.
Ah.
So we can do a greet and meet, right?
Right.
And we asked this person to come in the next day, which was Tuesday.
Correct.
But this person says, I can't make it on Tuesday. I can make it on Wednesday. So we set up the appointment for Wednesday. That puts us at the end, at the 10-day mark of our trip.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when Amir starts asking for permission for us to stay longer.
Okay. We've missed our flights by this point on Wednesday. It's like, we're done. It's like, we need to extend this or we hop on the plane. I mean.
Yeah, and at this point, we're like, hey, we've got this really good lead. What's another day gonna hurt? Let's see if it can pan out.
Right.
So we end up saying, okay, well, it's Wednesday it is, and we're just gonna have to go back on Wednesday back to Santa Teresa. We talked to the great people at the State Department, and they agreed to extend us with another person for another 2 days,
mm-hmm.
or actually another 1 day, right? On that
it was
Wednesday.
Just that 1 day, right? But that it was, Wednesday. I mean, everyone else was out either with COVID or other commitments.
Yeah, so it was basically us three.
At this point, we also have to make some type of arrangement with authorities in Costa Rica because we don't have anyone with us.
Anymore. Right.
So we have to make some type of arrangement in case that this is her. What are we going to do? What's the plan?
Right.
How are we going to get her into custody and removed from Costa Rica?
Because, again, we have no authority.
Mm-hmm.
We're making all these arrangements to meet with her, but at the end it's just to identify her and be like, yeah, that is her. We got her. And then we have to touch bases with the people that are going to help us out, which turns out is going to be Policía Turística, which is like their local PD, the local PD of Santa Teresa, which they have everywhere that is like a tourist strip.
Right.
Not everywhere. They're not everywhere in Costa Rica, just where they have more tourists.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's who we end up getting. They end up coming aboard and they say, okay, yeah, we'll help you.
But if you find her, call us.
Yeah.
We'll help you.
Basically, just give us a call. We'll comply. We're not going to go out there and help you look, but just give us a call.
Right.
And sure enough, we show up and we're thinking, okay, it's going to happen. We're looking around, and
this is at 3 p.m.
Yeah, by this time
the meeting is set up at 3 p.m. so that it gives us time to get from San Jose all the way to Santa Teresa as well.
By this time, the person on the other end, who we're suspecting is her,
mm-hmm.
Advises she's not going to make it today. She's canceling the trip, or she's canceling this interview, or pushing it, trying to push it back for later. And so we're like, oh, damn. So what are we going to do? So she kind of says, I am watching the front
of this business.
Yeah, the front of the business. The guy that's here is in
the owner of the place kind of left me in charge because his
father got sick.
It was his uncle.
His uncle got sick, and he left me in charge, and so I have to watch the place where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we're putting two and two together, and we're thinking there's a couple of hostels.
They're pharmacies. In the area. They're not even hospitals. They're pharmacies. Right. And the way she said it, like she took him to a pharmacy. Those were her exact words in that text. The owner of the place took his uncle to a pharmacy in town. Right. There's only two freaking pharmacies there, like big ones, like actual pharmacies. There's a bunch of other places that sell medicine,
right,
but two pharmacies, one in the north side, one in the south side.
Right.
So we go to the north side one. We're like, all right, let's drive to the north side one and see if we run into anyone that kind of looks like they're having trouble breathing, because that's what she said. Something
right,
like that.
Something about it.
She's got an emergency. Problems.
And
if we find somebody, we'll interview.
So then we head there. Nothing. I mean, we come up empty again. It's like, God, darn, it's frustrating. Right? The other option is going to the other one on the other side of the strip. And along the way, we stop and we're like, hey, you know what? There's a couple of hostels here along the way, along the strip. And maybe we could just poke our head in there to see if there's somebody working the front end that looks mm-hmm. like her, right? Mm-hmm. We're just going to go ahead and stop in there and do that.
Their tenacity and fugitive hunting skills are about to pay off. Join us next week for the conclusion of the Lone Star Fugitive Task Force's mission to track down and apprehend Caitlin Armstrong. Some surprising twists ahead. Thanks to the Task Force members for sharing their story today. They'll be back for Episode 3. In the meantime, please tell your friends about Chasing Evil and give us a 5-star rating and a review if you have a sec on Apple or Spotify. We would really appreciate it. And finally, Chasing Evil is produced with the cooperation of the United States Marshal Service. It contains interviews with current and retired employees as well as other persons. Opinions, positions, and views expressed by any of them may not reflect the official views, positions, or policies of the United States Marshal Service. Stay safe, everyone.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.